Welcome to Biz Takeouts, Biz Community's sound bite-sized news to go. I'm your host, Retendo Nyamuda. Coming up on the Takeouts menu, founder of Design Indaba, Ravi Naidu.
The reasons we did Design Indaba was not because we wanted to be event organizers or promoters or impresarios. We did it because we fundamentally believe that design has got this ability and it's part of the source code to help us reimagine South Africa and reimagine Africa.
It's time for Biz Takeouts. This year, Design Indaba celebrates its monumental 25th anniversary. So can you just take us back to the first Design Indaba and how the event has grown in the last 25 years?
Yeah, it's, got superannuated over that term 25 years ago, and it happened not so far away from where we just sat right now. And it was a reasonably inconspicuous event. Mm. It took place at the Mount Nelson in the ballroom. 200 people arrived. We were so chuffed. Mm-hmm. It was actually sold out for the ballroom. Couldn't believe that. We had this eclectic mix of locals and internationals speaking. Famously, we had the design director of the Atlanta Olympic Games, which was going to be happening the next year. And people loved it. Mm. And they asked us to do it again. And the peculiar thing about it was, did you know it started as a pet project, a side project? So we did this on the side as something that we wanted to do, completely smitten by these prospects of nation building and the new South Africa and what it was going to mean. Mm. And almost felt like over and above our day jobs, we needed to do something more. And did that. Mm-hmm. And it went along wonderfully. You just realized there was such a hunger for this content and being exposed, and South Africa feeling a sense of being hitched back onto the global express, being part of something bigger. When we canvassed the audience afterwards, they said, do it again. And we said, yeah, but God, you know, we can't just do it just yet. We've got work to do. How about we reconvene in 2 years? And we did that. 97, then 99, then 2001. By which time we built up such a head of steam that it had to become an annual event. Mm-hmm. So while it's 25 years since inception, there have not been 25 Design Indabas.
And at the beginning, you mentioned 200 attendees at the first one. What is the current size of people who attend the Design Indaba?
The scale is quite different in how we measure it right now, because the reach is way bigger than we ever imagined, and it's going to get even bigger. We just signed a deal recently with Google Arts and Culture, where all of our content is going into Google Archives, and our reach would be, you know, increased by an order of magnitude. So that digital treasure trove that we have of all the talks is a open source curriculum for anybody who is smitten by ideas around creativity, design, or innovation. Mm-hmm. So that's an important aspect. The nicest thing about Design Indaba is that we've never been formulaic or too wedded. Mm-hmm. We feel no problems about euthanizing things we've started. Mm-hmm. We used to try and model the Design Indaba where we had multiple streams. You would have, it was in an era pre-social media, you could have serious FOMO choosing like where to be. Mm-hmm. We would have like 6 channels simultaneously. We'd have entire separate Indabas, lifestyle Indaba, jewelry Indaba, mm-hmm. architecture Indaba. So it was very much of a multi-platform thing. But since social media, where people could track what was going on in other rooms, mm-hmm. it became prohibitive to do those kind of things. And we changed, and we now corral people together in one room. But then what we've done is then take the message out even further. And so folks will be watching it on a large screen in Nairobi this year, mm. or Windhoek, mm. or Lausanne, Switzerland. Mm. And that's been a nice thing about the model being malleable, and there's a plasticity about it. Mm. There's no two Design Indabas that's the same.
Yeah.
And in many ways, even the cast, it's completely renewed. Mm. So you can't say, well, I kind of saw that last year, there's no need to go this year.
Yeah.
It's a complete total renewal.
You've spoken about how the Design Indaba actually started off as a pet project. And you've been involved in a number of pet projects over the years. Some of these include the Arch for Arch, the Hugh Masekela Pavilion. You have also been involved in the 2014 World Design Capital Project. as well as bringing the right people to come together to make the globally recognized Zeitz Mocha happen. What would be the ultimate dream project for you right now?
The reasons we did Design in Davao was not because we wanted to be event organizers or promoters or impresarios. We did it because we fundamentally believe that design has got this ability and it's part of the source code to help us reimagine South Africa and reimagine Africa. And we set about it in this way, you know, we say this often, and it's really, really part of our campaign right now, that we wanted to be both a think tank and a do tank. Mm-hmm. I think South Africa has an implementation deficit, and those of us who can do must do. And so it wasn't enough to just talk and be soapbox activists about the power of design. We had to insert ourselves into this in a rather gonzo kind of way and make. So we've leveraged over 250 projects. Mm-hmm. Those that you've mentioned have all come from that stage.
Sure.
So a 30-minute talk by Snowhatter, 8 months later, is on the oldest avenue in South Africa and is the famous Arch for Arch, a homage at once to Archbishop Tutu, mm-hmm. as well as a celebration of the South African Constitution because it's made with 14 arches of wood and because there's 14 chapters in the Constitution and 14 lines in the preamble. So we love to take Design in Davao not as an end, but a means. Mm. And the work starts after the event, and we try to use that energy almost as a mandate mm-hmm. for projects and activities afterwards. So we love getting involved in that. So there's lots of projects, and in fact, in some ways, I got to tell you that a large chunk of our motivations and even how we're reorganizing ourselves here mm-hmm. at our head office here at Design in Davao is to actually build an organization that's going to be more about the projects. Mm-hmm. We'd rather be recognized as projects or us as opposed to being about the event. Mm-hmm. And it's a very peculiar thing because it, you know, it's like an iceberg. Everybody sees the bit above water mm-hmm. and they see, oh, that's that iceberg. Mm-hmm. But so much of the action is below the water. Mm-hmm. And where it's a way bigger. And so, but we're wanting to be way more prolific. Mm. Even now, for the next Design in Davao, there's an immense amount of things that you're going to be seeing there that we've front-loaded and we've worked on. One project we've invested over 200 hours, I know I've done personally, that will be unveiled at Design in Davao. Mm. And that is way beyond booking a talk and helping somebody make a talk. Mm. But it's about realizing a project that will accompany the talk. So a 20-minute talk has got over 200 hours worth of pre-production.
Wow.
I can say this without any fear of contradiction. There aren't conferences in the world that has that level of pre-production.
Mm.
Because it's not about the stage. Mm. It's about the stuff that leaves the stage. And that has got way more complexity than the stage.
Mm.
Because that involves multiple parties. The instance that I'm talking to you, I had to liaise with the Department of Water Affairs, I had to liaise with provincial governments, with city government, with environmentalists, with finding out new techniques about building, mm. including cross-laminated timber, finding out things about how to harvest alien vegetation off the slopes of Table Mountain and how you would prep them. And this is way beyond the scope of an event organizer.
Yeah.
So I hope, you know, when people start to understand and get their heads around what Design in Davao is,
mm-hmm.
It is really a think tank and a do tank. And, you know, part of our evolving platform, I'm thinking increasingly that maybe the platform should work and evolve in the future editions of it
mm-hmm.
to be like 2 days worth of conference
yeah.
and maybe 2 days worth of active do tank
okay.
where we make these challenges live. And we corral people to bring challenges to us.
Mm.
And increasingly people are starting to do that
mm.
because they see this capacity for making
yeah.
and doing this heavy lifting.
Mm.
So imagine we gave corporations a opportunity to send us their challenges. And they will, by virtue of all the energies we coalesce around Design in Davao, we activate these projects. And so we don't only get titillated and excited and inspired by the ideas, we can also be part of a real life transformative project.
Mm.
I want more people to be imbued with this sense and feel this energy because we get such a rush
yeah.
from things like the Arch for Arch. And I would love more of the audience and other collaborators to be involved in that.
And you've mentioned challenges. You've mentioned the image of the iceberg and how we only see the top of the iceberg and we don't see everything that happens below.
Yeah.
Talk to me about some of the challenges or some of the surprises that stand out to you over the last, I guess, over the last 25 years.
Listen, it's tough doing it here, I must admit. It's a harrowing ride. Mm-hmm. I felt that this year was probably the toughest it's ever been, which is quite crazy because you look at us and you think we are 25 years old, we've got broad shoulders, we've seen so many things. But I think the kind of tide has receded somewhat in South Africa and the economy has been properly gutted. And so it's very hard, and I have huge empathy for the creative industries that have really struggled in this term. And so we've done whatever we can in order to soften the blow. We've dialed down our prices to 2018 levels. We've asked our sponsors to perhaps pick up a bit more of the slack. And we find new ways to make sure that Design Dubber can be as accessible as ever. You know, more people have a free or a small fee experience of Design Dubber with Nightscape. And then, of course, simulcast. More people watch a simulcast than they do the plenary. And so we want to make sure as far as possible that we make it super accessible. And of course, there's no paywalls afterwards with all of the content. But it's been a harrowing time prepping for this year. And as I talk to my colleagues across the creative industries in South Africa, I can well empathize with how tough it's been in, with the South African economy.
Mm.
So it's been quite difficult keeping it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, we built a bit of an SUV here, quite a resilient model.
Mm.
But still, we've been absolutely tested.
Mm.
So, you know, I want to say also to people who are alumni and folks who have come out to many Design Dubbers, you know, we've got your back. We really, really appreciate the support. And even now, we are conjuring up new ways as to how to make the event more accessible.
Mm.
We had a brainstorm session with a sponsor. And one new idea we have that we're hoping to, if the sponsor signs off on it, cross-subsidize entry into the Design Dubber, where for a particular challenge, you could cross-subsidize your entry into Design Dubber by offering an idea. So you can pay with some cash and top it up with some intellectual capital.
Wow.
Which is not too shabby.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, and an idea, just an idea, because so. We've been looking at these kinds of ways because trust us, we know we don't take ourselves for granted, any of this for granted. We don't rest on our laurels. We really, really sweat the small stuff about putting together an amazing program. We adore this this place we live in.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really love the creative community, and we want to make sure that we do well by them.
Yeah.
And so, we are doing our darndest to make all of this, because it's pointless doing all of this hard work and not have the right people sup at this fountain and use it as their energy and their charge for the project that will have impact in South Africa subsequently.
African design and culture are increasingly a high-value global commodity. Free trade agreements are poised to benefit African economies and connectivity. Essentially, everything is coming together. How do you see the incredible success of Design Dubber evolving and scaling in the coming years?
Yeah, I don't see our scaling happening in eventing. I see our scaling happening in terms of projects. We'll do more projects.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've got that flagship event, and it's wonderful. But, you know, events are not us. I think projects are us, because we really need to take more of the energy of the event out onto the high street.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how you're going to measure us going forward. I love this whole idea about free trade. I think the biggest issue is that will you implement it already? I mean, I have a situation right now of a Ghanaian artist who's struggling to get his visa to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make all of these promises, but in the simple issue of somebody getting on a plane and being able to travel from one country to the next, in order to be able to meet and make connections, etc., it's quite difficult. So I hope that, you know, beyond them writing wonderful poetry, they sort out you know, these very, very simple blockages towards making intra-African enterprise work a lot better. We have a project here at Design Dubber that we calling internally Studio 54. And it's a little pet project we have internally, where we're wanting to do a design and develop project in every single African country.
Wow.
So we helped with Es Devlin recently when she took the proceeds of doing the Zoetrope, which is a project we did here in Cape Town opposite Zeitzmoker for Mercedes, and decided that the money should not leave Africa and instead put it towards building a facility at a school north of Blantyre in Malawi. With Miriam Kamara, we're triggering this artisanal valley in Niger, in their capital, Niamey. And with Thomas Heatherwick, we're working on a speculative project of in Addis Ababa, which is at early stages. So increasingly, we are also starting to think, well, how could we take this energy from DI and actually work with collaborators outside South Africa as well, and just use this to trigger point and other projects. So happy for to see, you know, these trade agreements. We now have this inaugural office, which is based in Accra, Ghana, headed up by a South African, to facilitate trade across Africa. So hopefully great things will happen from there.
And that's a wrap on today's show, Biz Takeouts. Take it where you like it, when you like it, how you like it.